This morning on Wake Up With Hope, Livit is back with a spring rolls recipe, and John Bradshaw will have a devotional thought for us.
Plus, the Parenting Place is back with more parenting tips and much, much more. Make sure to join us. Good morning and happy Wednesday, and welcome to Wake Up With Hope. Thank you for waking up with us here today. You know, it's the middle of the week, and we are happy to be here with you.
I am so thankful we made it to Wednesday together.
Yes.
And we are so excited to be here, and we can't wait to tell you what we have for you today.
On today's program, we're going to be blessed with music, and John Bradshaw will have our devotional thought for us. We have another Masterstroke episode coming up, and I'm sure it's going to make you think. Plus, the Parenting Place is back. But before we get to that, let's take a look back at what happened on this day in history.
On this day in history, in the year 1954, in a major civil rights victory, the U.S. Supreme Court hands down a unanimous decision in Brown versus Board of Education of Topeka, ruling that racial segregation in public educational facilities is unconstitutional. The historic decision, which brought an end to federal tolerance of racial segregation, specifically dealt with Linda Brown, a young African-American girl who had been denied admission to her local elementary school in Topeka, Kansas, because of the color of her skin. Friends, the reality is that many of us have found ourselves guilty of treating someone differently because of their status or differences. God deals with this common phenomenon head on in Acts chapter 10, verses 9 to 39, when Peter receives a vision pertaining to unclean animals.
And what a vision it was. And after he receives the vision, Peter is perplexed. He doesn't exactly know what it means. That is, until some men, which he's supposed to be unclean Gentiles, comes to his door looking for him. He quickly realizes that God is no respecter of persons, and the message of salvation is for every person. Friends, what great news. The message of hope in Jesus Christ is not exclusive. Rather, it is inclusive, all inclusive. It's for you. It's for me. It's for all of us. It's for the person next to you on the elevator or in traffic. God loves us just the same. What a world it would be if we all saw each other through his lens. And today, friends, we invite you to join us in asking God to fill us with his love, that we too may extend grace and mercy to everyone we come into contact with, so that we would be his representatives on this earth.
Amen. Well, we are nearing summertime, friends, but we're still in spring. So our good friends from Loma Linda Health are here to share a delicious spring rolls recipe to help us get our veggies in.
If you haven't worked with rice paper before, be patient. It does take some practice. A quick dip will do. They will continue to soften as you work. When building your spring roll, work with one rice paper at a time. Be creative with the fillings, but don't add too much. You don't want the rice paper to tear. These could also be filled with fruit and sweet rice for a beautifully unique dessert. As you fold and roll, the paper will stick to itself, and that will hold the roll together. There are many varieties of sauce that would pair nicely with these veggie spring rolls. For fruit-filled rolls, you could use a sweet whipped cream as a dip. If the sauce is too thick, just add a small amount of warm water till you get the consistency you want. Rice paper can be very sticky, so using cabbage or lettuce leaves will help them to not stick to the plate.
Those spring rolls look delicious, friends. Let us know if you try them.
Yes, please do. Let me ask you a question. Why do bad things happen to good people? Is there really a devil? or Satan just a myth? Well, on today's Masterstroke episode, John Millay paints a clear and graphic picture of the underlying reasons why behind life it sometimes seems unfair.
Sir John Everett Millay painted The Enemy Sowing Tares in 1865. It's based on a parable where Jesus said a man sowed a field full of wheat. Then, in a bizarre twist, Jesus said what happens next. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. Let's take a look at how Millay depicts this story. The enemy here looks nothing short of dastardly. Bare feet, uncut beard, and a sly smirk on his face. He has a bag full of seeds. The ugly terror stoops over to spread his evil work in among the wheat. There's a wolf in the background. That symbolizes cunning and deceit. Meanwhile, slippery snakes slither around his feet. So what does all this mean? Well, there's one thing we can be certain of. Jesus said categorically, the enemy that sowed them is the devil. In other words, in life, the enemy, the devil, puts bad in with the good. Now, this, of course, includes planting evil people in the church. But I believe there's a wider and more significant application. God created this world perfectly. But today, life is full of sadness, pain, and death. Doesn't God care? I believe this painting highlights one of the most important facts in life. God is love. But there's another player on the scene. We have an enemy who sows his evil with God's good. So who's responsible for the tragic things happening on our planet? According to Jesus, it's Satan. He's the troublemaker. He destroys. He causes pain. He brings trouble. He wants us to make the same choices in life that he's made. So here's the point. Life might seem unfair, but when bad things happen to you, don't blame God. Blame the enemy.
What can the V in love teach us about rules and safety for our kids? The Parenting Place is here to share some practical parenting tips.
Hey, what's that?
Love.
No, I mean in the middle, that thing there.
It's the V of love.
It's broken.
No, it's just hinged. See?
Well, what does it do?
It keeps kids safe and helps them learn.
What, that thing?
Well, not this, but it stands for something that you do at home. You see, the sides of the V represent the rules you set for your kids to keep them safe.
Yeah, I'm not with you, bro.
Hold on. You'll get it. Now, see how the V widens out as the child gets older? Down the bottom there, when kids are babies, the rules are pretty tight. They can't go outside to play.
Because they're just babies.
That's right. But as they get older, they can play outside on the back lawn.
And as they get older?
They can play with their mates on the street and then ride their bikes to the shops.
Choice to give me a fee.
Well, whatever. And before long, they can go off to Wellington to university.
Or off fishing to catch some kite.
Yeah. The trick is to watch out to see how mature they are and not open the V up too quickly.
Yeah. Nah, what do you mean?
Well, jellyfish parents do this. They give their kids too much freedom too soon. They let their little kids wander around town without knowing where they are, or they go on the internet without any limits, and it's just way too dangerous.
Now, you've got to keep the V good and tight, hey? You know, keeps them safe.
No, not too tight. That's what Sergeant Major parents do. They treat their 8-year-olds like 5-year-olds. And they have rules for their 12-year-old that would be too tight even for a 9-year-old.
What happened?
Well, sometimes the kids just knuckle under and behave, but sometimes they sneak out of the V and do the things that you don't want them to do, but now they're doing it without you knowing about it. So they're going outside of your protection. The kids of the Sergeant Majors often learn to be sneaky. They look like angels while getting away with murder.
Kapai. So how quick do you actually open this V up?
Well, it could be different for every child. Some kids are more mature and can have more freedom, and others need rules for a bit longer.
Yeah, I can use that. Set some rules, that's the way I reckon.
Just remember, it's the V of love. If you're thinking about rules, just think of it as a way to show your love and to keep them safe, not just as a way to spoil their fun.
Bro, I wouldn't do that. Well, not much anyway. Yeah, okay, got it.
It's now time for music. Listen now to this very inspiring song.
We've had a blessings-packed morning so far, friends, but now we have to take a short break. When we return, the blessings continue as John Bradshaw joins us to share a devotional thought.
And don't forget, if you're enjoying today's show, share it with a friend. Or check us out at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more exciting content.
Plus, find us on YouTube and subscribe to keep up with us there. We'll be back shortly. Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope. How are you doing this morning? Are you enjoying our program? We would love to hear from you. Send us a message on our official Wake Up with Hope Facebook page.
It's now time for John Bradshaw from It Is Written to join us as he shares today's devotional thought.
Great to see you. I hope you are encouraged in the Lord, optimistic, positive, bright-eyed, and hopeful. You and I both have every reason to live. There is a God in heaven whose Son Jesus came to this earth, whose Son Jesus will come back to this earth one day, gather us up, take us home. Whatever we've confronted on this earth, it's all going to be gone. And we'll have only the good, only the joyful, only that which builds us up and fulfills us. We'll live one day in a land that is fairer than day. And I am glad to be able to tell you that that is so. Archaeology fascinates me. I wonder if it fascinates you. Artifacts that are uncovered, whether they're coins or boats or pillars or civilizations, buildings, you know. Some of the magnificent stuff that's been found in Central America. Once upon a time, it was just covered up with bushes, trees, growth. They pulled it away and they said, look at these pyramid-type structures. Whole towns, cities, civilizations were here. Marvelous stuff. You get over into the Holy Land, what we call the Holy Land, Israel and the near vicinity. Ooh, that's where you find some really interesting stuff. Well, not very long ago, archaeologists digging in Israel found something that they believe was 3,100 years old. Now, anytime you can find something 3,100 years old, that's a pretty big deal. This was dated to the time right around 1100 BC. It was a pot or a jug. You could describe it either way. Well, I doubt very much it was the first pot or jug ever found that dated to 1100 BC, but this one was different. There was a name printed on it, and that name was Jerubbaal. Jerubbaal. Now, you might find that familiar. Maybe it just goes right over your head. But that name appears in the Bible. And it was the name of somebody known more prominently by another name. Jerubbaal was the other name for Gideon. Oh, that great judge in Israel, that leader of God's people, Gideon. Gideon, who with an army of 300 quashed or destroyed an army that was like the sands on the seashore, just with 300 individuals. Gideon, who was an outstanding individual, Gideon, did they find something that belonged to the actual Gideon? Well, there's not really any way to prove that, but it dates to the right era. It was found in about the right place, and Jerubbaal is an uncommon name. I mean, Jerubbaal was not the 1100 BC's John or Jacob or Bob or some such thing. It was a very rare name. So it seems there is reason to believe that something bearing the name of Gideon, the Bible character Gideon, has been found. Again, do we know that for certain? Nope. But it does seem as though it's very, very likely. And if it is so, what does that actually do? How does that move the needle? What effect does a discovery like that have? Well, much in every way. But let me go for the low-hanging fruit. If there is evidence that Gideon was an actual person who actually lived in an actual place, in an actual point in time, this tells you and me both that the Bible is a trustworthy document. Here's evidence of Gideon. You know the Bible has, archaeology has turned up direct evidence of a lot of individuals, many who've been named in the Bible. They found evidence for King David's existence, for example. Now, Some Bible luminaries, people like Solomon, they've not found any direct evidence for that. But let's keep in mind, this stuff is now buried under 3,000 plus years of accumulation. It's not like you can find everything. Talk about a needle in a haystack. But back to Gideon. What might this suggest? Listen, if this demonstrates to us that Gideon actually existed, not that I doubted that, but if this is proof for that, what might that tell us about the rest of the Bible? You see, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Do you think you could believe that? I think so. The Bible says that Jesus was born of a virgin. That sounds unlikely, doesn't it? But this was the result of a miracle of Almighty God. Seems to me that we could believe that. Jesus worked miracles then, and he still, through the Holy Spirit, works miracles today. You see, when you piece together the archaeological evidence, what you find is that it paints a very clear picture of the Bible being a valid, trustworthy, relevant document. And if that's the case, then the claims made in the Bible, the things said in the Bible, must be relevant and trustworthy today. Can we prove them all? Well, I tell you what you can prove is fulfilled prophecy. Prophet made a prediction. History validates the prediction that was made. Okay, we can do that again and again and again and again. But artifacts found in the right place, dating to the right time, making the right sense, they bolster our faith in the Word of God. At least they will if you allow them to do so. Which suggests to you and me both, I believe, that the Word of God must be trustworthy. If that's true, then we can follow with all of our hearts advice like the following. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. I'll say that again. And he will direct your paths. Everything that's uncovered or discovered that validates the Word of God, that shines a light on the trustworthiness of the Word of God, brings into greater clarity the promises of God and the reality of the claims made in the Bible. Jesus said, I will come again and receive you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. You see, the discovery of the Gideon, the Jerubbaal pot or jug, bolsters that claim. The Christian doesn't go through life hanging on to an ancient document and saying, well, you know, I'm hoping so. There are numerous reasons that you can hang your hat on the Bible, trust it to be what it says it is, and trust it to do what it says it will do. Archaeology, a classic reason. So we can believe that Jesus is coming back soon. We can believe that God will forgive you of your sins. You know how many people struggle with that concept? You might be one of them. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. We can believe that there will be a resurrection one day. The Bible says that that's true. You know, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Paul speaks about the resurrection, the certainty that the dead in Christ will rise, and we which are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. He doesn't say for a moment that that hope takes away the pain, the sting of death. But what he does say right there, I call it a little PS. He says, comfort one another with these words. You see, the Bible says Jesus is coming back. The dead in Christ will rise. We're going to go on a journey to heaven. I can hardly imagine what that's going to be like. It seems that every day or every other day, there's more evidence suggesting to you that the Bible can be trusted. This jug, this pot, again, can we prove it? No. But there's every indication that it's the real thing, and I have faith that it is. It tells me that the Bible is the real thing. It tells me that God is the real thing. And when you have faith in Jesus, you have everlasting life, and that's the real thing.
Thank you, Pastor John. That was truly a blessing.
And thank you so much, friends, for watching Wake Up with Hope. If you would like to learn more about our program, please visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup.
And don't forget to join us tomorrow. Ready, Set, Cook will be in the kitchen making vegetarian pad thai. Faith for Today will join us to share a devotional thought. We will also have another inspiring Reflections of Hope episode. health tips from Dr. Narada McKibben, music, and more. So don't miss us. If you enjoyed today's devotional thought and would like to learn more, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides.
You know, we've enjoyed our time with you this morning, and we hope that your heart has been touched and filled with hope. You know, our program is over for today, so soon, so fast. But as usual, we can't leave without sharing with you a Bible promise. Today's Bible promise comes from Proverbs chapter 23, verse 26.
It says, "My son, give me your heart and let your eyes observe my ways."
You know, friend, at the end of it all, God simply wants us to give him our hearts, to trust him with everything we have and with all our being. And when we do, when we follow his ways, we can be sure that his blessings will be ours.
Amen. May God bless you today, friends, as you follow him.
Let's pray together. Dear Father in heaven, today we open our hearts to you, to welcome you, to allow you to come and just remain with us. We know, Lord, that in your presence, yes, there are many blessings, but truly the greatest blessing is to be in your company, for you to be with us and us with you, to be together with you. That is our heart's desire today, and we thank you for answering our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.